Please silence all cell phones. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You've gathered this morning to worship God and to remember the life of Flora Alexia Masters Chin. It was not my privilege in this life to meet your Auntie Flo. I am filling in for an absent pastor. I've not met most of you, but 2 days ago I met with a number of you, and I've never been so warmly welcomed into a family as I was then. I take this as a high honor and privilege to worship God as we remember a saint, to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to know that we have a hope that is greater than our grief, that we have an assurance that is greater than our mourning. And so we gather this morning with tender hearts to remember one who is dear to you, and in 2 days has become in some ways dear to me. To remember one who gave so generously and who left behind the legacy of this glorious family. We have gathered to worship God. Let us pray. Gracious, all-loving God, our Heavenly Father, Lord of love, we come before you with humble and contrite hearts today, with sadness in our loss, but confidence in her gain. We come to remember with thanksgiving, and in our remembrance to recognize you as the Lord of the living and the Lord of the dead. To recognize that our Lord Jesus died and is risen and will bring all of his children to be with him in resurrected life. We come to seek the comfort of your word and the ministry of your spirit, to take comfort from one another, to know that no one of us grieves alone today, that together we share in this loss, and together we share in the hope of the resurrection. We come with hearts breaking and with spirits abounding. We come at your invitation, O God, to taste and see that the Lord is good, to drink from that fountain that never runs dry, to know the sympathy, the comfort of your love as expressed through your children. We come this morning for a holy purpose. We come in the name of our Lord Jesus, our conquering risen Lord, and pray together now in the words he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we attend to the reading of God's holy word. Thank you.
be coming from the Old Testament, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I have read to you Psalms 1, 1 through 6. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and the hearers of the word.
Hello. Are we reading from Thessalonians? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Good morning. I want to start out by saying, grieve in the way that you know best. Not everyone grieves in the same way. So take your time and whatever you need to do, follow your process. I want to also start out by apologizing because I meant to write something. I had a little time to do it, but honestly, I didn't know how. So this is all very surreal to me still, but I think now it's kind of hitting more than anything else. When we were younger, we would always run through the house. Me, Tyler, George, Antoinette, Jocelyn, and I was usually picked on, me and G, because we're the youngest. And people would always say, Auntie Flo. And then my mom would also say, Grandma. And as a very young child, that's hard to wrap your head around because you're confused and I like to know what's going on. I also had G and Antoinette kind of say, I don't know, like, is that your grandma? And they'd, like, mess with me, and I'd have to deal with it that way. But at first, going to Auntie Flo's, I didn't care for as a kid. I didn't have my own space. You know, I was childish in that way. But I as the time went on, I gained to kind of enjoy seeing my cousins and my family and Auntie Flo / grandma. Every time I tried to write something for this, I couldn't get past it. I tried to find the words to say, something people might gain from it, and I couldn't. But I knew Grandma touched a lot of people more than I could really understand. Even as a child, I understood she knew so much more people than I could possibly fathom and helped so much people than I could possibly understand. And I think it hit for me finally enjoying going to Auntie Flo's / Grandma's. When me and Tyler went in the backyard and we made this seesaw, and it was a makeshift seesaw, and it had a lot of nails in it, and she jumped on it really hard, and I fell off and I cut my leg open. And usually when I'd get hurt, of course, my mom was there, or dad, or whoever, to help me out. But I was at Grandma's house. And I remember going inside, and of course, if you get hurt around Grandma, you know, she kind of tells you to shush. Stop crying. So that angered me as a kid. Like, I'm hurt. Like, let me cry. But then she, you know, put iodine on my cuts, if you guys are familiar with what that is, which made me cry even more. And she told me to hush even more than that. And at that point, I think that's when I realized the difference between Grandma and Auntie Flo. And I comfortably called her Grandma. Because, sorry, she showed me love that I only really felt for my mom at that moment. So I knew to call her Grandma and not Auntie Flo. And from that day on, that's what I called her. I'm sorry, y'all. I actually dread speaking in front of people for this very reason. But I felt obligated, and I owed it to Grandma, because this is what she would have wanted me to do. So I'm here telling my stories and hoping that you all took from her as much as I did. And I know these next few weeks are going to be tough. We still have each other, and we should be able to lean on that. I will be here. I'm sure others will be open as well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just wish I had a little bit more time with her before she passed. So, but I knew she knew where my heart was. So I just thank you for giving me the time to say this. I love you, Grandma. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you again soon. All right. Thank you.
I did write something because I didn't trust myself to not go off on a tangent and have you guys here forever. On the flow, she was many things to many people, but I want to tell you what she was to me. I was fortunate enough to have two mothers, so she was my mother. She was my motivator, my base, who kept me grounded,
my very hard truth teller, and we all can relate to that. My stand-up comedian. And oh, did I say that she was my mother? I will miss many things about her, but I rejoice in the memories because a lot of the things she said and did just made you, when you're not in her presence anymore, just laugh out loud. My sisters and I would talk about her and the things she say, and we would just crack up. And I don't even think she knew that she was responsible for that kind of joy in our family in her absence. I will miss things like the way she always said, "Imagine," before she started to complain. So when you heard "imagine," you knew, oh boy, here we come. I'll miss the way she always referred to herself as "Mi FM," long after she switched from Masters to Chin. I will definitely miss the way she used to point with her lips and expected you to know exactly what, and got irritated because you didn't know what she was pointing at. I will miss the throaty way, the throat noises she made when she was utterly disgusted. And then you knew she was utterly disgusted when she did that. The way she would tell you off that made you laugh instead of cry because of the mannerism. Her mannerism was just precious, and we talked about it all the time in her absence. And it just dawned on me the other day that we're still going to be able to do that. We're still going to be able to do that. We haven't lost any of that. That's what she gave us, and we get to keep it. I will really miss the way she loved to have people around her. She loved it. She loved to gather people. She loved to feed people. She just loved people. And to the point where if she saw you 2 days ago, you'd be told off that she hasn't seen you in forever. I love the way she loved everyone, and I love the way she's looking down upon us now, getting together, rejoicing, being with each other, and I know she's smiling. Thank you.
And then y'all saw me almost fall on my way up here, but, you know, I appreciate you not laughing. You didn't have to say anything. So thank you all for coming, first and foremost, and I'm going to try to kind of get through this as best as I can without ruining my makeup. She was a lot of things to a lot of people. She was Auntie Flo. She was Grandma. She was whoever, but she was somebody to everybody. And that little nook in which they live in Elmdorf, everybody in that little area knew. Living next door to Auntie Cheryl and in Kirsten, she already knew that you were fed. Whenever you come over there, you're fed. If you're a child in the house, you actually participate in the creation of that food as well, but it's the stuff that she didn't want to do. So, like, mixing the stuff for beef patties that broke her wrist and rum cakes and things like that, that's the kind of thing that we would kind of get stuck doing. But it's, you loved it nonetheless, because it's just to be in the throw of everything. It's like, when you go in the house, you can still smell the way that it used to smell when we would spend weekends there and summers there. And like Sean said, it was me, Sean, G, Shamik, Kamal. It was Brian. It was Jocelyn. It was Antoinette. And at any point, given time, there could be like 10 kids in the house. Some of the kids we didn't know. Some of the kids we just picked up. But regardless, because there were definitely some church kids that made their way, and they just kind of just came with us. And the amount of things that we found in the Magic Dragon to make things like that unsuitable seesaw, because what Sean didn't tell you about the seesaw is that it was on a rock, and it was a plank that somebody pulled out of something, so that's where the nails came from. I did not jump. Sean was heavier than me, and he just... he was over here trying to demonize us for our participation in that, and I just want you to know that that's actually what happened, because I, as a one, at one point in my life, I was a thin human being. And what he also didn't tell you was that that little iodine that she kept, that brush that typically goes on the tip of that iodine, didn't exist anymore. So when she pulled it out, it was just a stick. So you have an open wound that she cleaned off with like soap and water, then it was just the stick with the iodine on it. So I don't know if you've ever put iodine in an open wound, but it's just like they clean that pre-surgery. They use that to clean pre-surgery for a reason. It's like it's not alcohol. It's not for you. But I was talking to Brian, what was it, 2 days ago, yesterday, something like that, and just the amount of fun that we used to have in that house and how many of us were just there at all times, always riding bikes fronts and backs to get juleps up the street and playing hide and seek in the basement and running away from the dragon belt when we did something we had no business and we knew that we weren't supposed to be doing, because when it came to getting popped and whoopings, Grandpa, you know, he had that belt that was about thick as your pinky. He'd get you with that, thick as your pinky. But Grandma, she was like a soft popper. She was just like, you didn't want to disappoint her, but she, and G's the one who she used to get the most. I know he's going to sit here and say, no, I never got in trouble, but she used to grab him by the little wrist and be like, and we'd just be sitting here like, that ain't no whooping. And it's just, and G was the type that's just like, and it didn't hurt. I'm like, oof. Because then you know who else came out the corner, but that was, it's, I had so many things that I wanted to say. I tried to write a million things just like Sean did, and it was literally like just write something, crumple, throw it up. I could not do it. I was like, maybe I should write it in a letter so that she knows how I feel, but I knew that she knew how I felt. Every time I made my way to New York, I made my way to see her. It doesn't matter how many things I had to do. If I was there for 12 hours, I would come there and she'd be just as surprised and tell me also that I'm gaining weight, but I'm still pretty. So it's just like, okay, I appreciate you, I love you, but and then ask me if I need food in the second, you know, like, I didn't know how to feel. I'm just like, okay, so I'm fat, I'm cute, but I'm still hungry, so I appreciate you, though. So I've kind of decided that I can't stay in a space where I'm wondering who did what, who didn't do what, throwing blame or who did what. I couldn't stay in that space because it's a place of anger, and it's a place that I know well. So I decided that, of course, you're going to have to grieve, but I have to stay in the happiness in order to remain sane, because this was a huge blow to this family and to this community, and it's not one that anyone takes lightly, and it's the kind that you'll feel when you're just like, oh, let me pick up the phone, let me call, or, oh, I know who can make that, Auntie Flo can, Grandma can, and then you just realize she can't. And I had moments like that during work. When we found out that a couple weekends ago, I decided that I was going to work remote on Monday, and it was the worst decision I could have made, because as you just sit and all of the things that you feel like you should have done, you should have taken more trips, you should have just driven up there more, and you just sit there and you beat yourself up about all of the things that you wish you could have done more appropriately. So then, of course, I went to work the next day because that wasn't going to work for me, and I try to keep busy, and we have a morning meeting every morning, and it's just kind of like a catch you up on everything, and it's from like 8:15 to 8:30, and my whole team knew what had happened, and one of the other ladies on the leadership team said, we just wanted to make sure that we can surround you with as much love as possible, and I broke down right there in front of people who have never even seen me crack anything but a scowl or a smile. And I was just like, I just felt so vulnerable, and I still feel so vulnerable in this. And I'm okay for the moment, but it's just moments of okay, and then there's really, really bad moments as well. So I can imagine that tonight's going to be rough for a majority of our family once we kind of truly think about how final today was. But I think it would behoove all of us to kind of move in the way of thinking about how she was able to assist everybody and who she was to everybody, because that's what I'm having to do. I don't know, like Sean said, you got to find your own way to cope. But for me, I have to live in that space because of who she was, and it's just she was an incredible human being. She is an incredible human being, and I'm going to miss her so much. And just incredible in the way that she allowed my mom to have a monkey in her house, just, you know, so that people didn't even know my mom had a real life monkey and his name was Eric. And Tammy and and my mom liked to double team taking care of Eric because he was bad. But just the things that you think, like, there are how many kids and people passed through that house, how many people she gave a roof to, how many people whose stomachs she's just filled, who she was to everybody in this room is incredible. Because you don't even think about it. You think about people's impact when it's too late. But she wanted to make sure that she knew, that you knew how much she loved you and cared about you before anybody else and anything else. So I'll end with that. And I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to speak.
Contemplated back and forth whether I was going to say something or not, even up to, you know, when we were just in the back, and I just felt like, how could I not say something to somebody who took care of me for 30 years? Grandma has been everything to me. She loved me to death. She would call me every day, blow up my phone a couple times a day, and she would leave me messages that it's an emergency, and I'll call her, and she would just be like, can you stop at the store and pick up something? I'm like, Grandma, that's the emergency? And she'll be like, yeah. And, you know, just growing up, her and Grandpa gave us the best childhood. I can't even tell you how many times we've all been to Disney World with Tyler, Sean, and, you know, we both have the red vans. I remember that. And, you know, we'll travel to Florida all the time. And wherever they went, they took us everywhere with them. And they never, ever left us behind. Grandma spoiled me so much. Like, I'm an adult. I don't even know how to catch the RTS bus. Like, she would not ever let me get on no bus, even as a child. If I ever drove on the expressway, she would freak out. She would tell me, don't go on the expressway, because she was scared for my life that something would happen. She didn't want me to live in a certain area. She just, like, everything, she cared a lot about me. She cared a lot about my kids. It's just funny because Cameron doesn't really talk to her. You know, she'll say, answer little yes, no questions. But when we seen her that Friday, Cameron was just having a full-blown conversation with her. And, you know, Grandma was so happy to see them because when I was working over there with her, I stopped bringing them with me. And she was happy to see the girls. And she just was asking Cameron about school. And, you know, Cameron, she's going to a Catholic school now, so she talks about God a lot. And, you know, her and Grandma was just talking and talking. And, it, you know, at the time, I didn't think nothing of it, but I kind of just felt like, you know, that was God. You know, just to open up Cameron's mouth to actually speak to her before she left. And the other day, I was sharing with Paula and my mom and Auntie Cheryl that I was in the shower, and I always pray when I'm in the shower at nighttime, just because I feel like I'm cleansing my body, and, you know, I'm just praying to God about everything. And I was asking God for some strength because it's been really hard on me. And in the middle of my prayer, like, I've had my grandfather come to me in dreams, but in the middle of my prayer, I seen my grandma, and I had closed my eyes, and just like what my sister is doing right now, I felt her rubbing my back, and she just kept telling me, all is well, my child. And it gave me some peace, but I'm definitely going to miss her. I love her, and I just thank her for everything that she's done for me for all of my 30 years of living. Thank you.
Good morning. I know many of you in the room, and some of you probably don't know who I am. My name is Lance Drummond. I'm representing the Drummond family, but especially my wife, Hope. She was very close with Auntie Flo, and she asked me to read this letter on her behalf. Dear Auntie Flo, as I write this letter to you, I'm crying inside because at this very moment, there is no place I would rather be than in this church celebrating your homecoming. Unfortunately, due to other commitments, I can only share my thoughts through this letter. Your passing has created a vacuum in so many lives, including my own. Life's detours come in many different shapes and sizes. But all of them share one thing. We didn't know the timing, and we didn't see them coming. Your departure from this earth has left me heartbroken. We question why things happen this way. However, those questions can only be brought to God's door. In times like these, we second guess ourselves and ponder, if we knew it would be the last time, what would we have done differently? I will not question God's decision, only thank him for the time we spent together. So, Auntie Flo, I will hold you close within my heart and remember you fondly, especially how after my mother's passing, we became very close. You're an amazing person and touched the lives of many with your caring and giving spirit. I am sure God has given you the seat you truly deserve at his table. May your soul rest in peace and his light perpetual shine on you.
There will be an opportunity now for remembrances from the congregation. Two young men will be carrying handheld mics, so if you would like to say a few words, just indicate to them and use the mic. Now, the family told me on Thursday that I'm to tell you these are to be limited to 2 minutes, but I'm not going to look at my watch. Just do your best. So you may stand or raise your hand, and the mics will come to you. Okay, hold a moment. Gary, is that one alive? There we go.
You first, give an honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to the minister that's performing this service today, and the family who has my prayers. I hear from Powerhouse Church of God in Christ. My bishop is Bishop Jeffrey Melvin, and my name is Mother Ruth Adams. Sometimes they call me Sister Adams. I know Mother Chen for a long time. Many years she was at Powerhouse. And how I met her first, she worked at Xerox. I didn't know her then, because I worked there at Xerox too, but I didn't know her then. But I met her at Powerhouse through a lady, through another sister that was named Sister Salisbury. And so we became close, and I loved her curry chicken. And you know, I love people, and I love to hear the different language that God has given people. And so me and Sister Chen, we used to talk and pray, and Mother Yan, we used to go to the house and pray with her. And her children, they were young then, and they came to Powerhouse. And they were all in the Sunshine Band. And so Sister Chen, she had knee surgery. And when she had knee surgery, I was going to have knee surgery, but not right away. And so she had knee surgery, and I'm going to try to demonstrate how she said it. Oh, man, boy, man, my knees hurt. Oh, my God, my knees hurt. So I said, Sister Chen, I said, well, who did your knees? She said, she told me the doctor. And I said, well, I won't go to him. And so I went to a doctor. I had knee surgery. And I said, Sister Chen, are you going to have another knee surgery? Oh, no, no, Mom. I'm not going to have it done. So I went to this doctor, and I had knee surgery. And I'm saying this to help someone, because someone in here might need knee surgery. Make sure you get the right doctor. Don't worry about bad manners. Don't worry about, what he's putting into your knees. Ask them, go take a test. Go tell them you want to have a test, because what happened, this doctor did my knees. He didn't have me to take no tests, so I suffered. My knees swole so big, and then he didn't know what was wrong, but they finally found out, because God gave to me to tell him to take me somewhere where I can get some kind of test, because something is wrong. So they did a test and found out I was allergic to nickel. So then I had to have another knee surgery on both my knees. So I had four surgeries on my knees. So I'm asking each and everyone that's here that need knee surgery or anything, don't let no one put a foreign object in your body unless you find out and have a test, because it could be your death. So I'm saying this out of love, and I hope that someone takes that in. And again, your family is in my prayers, and y'all continue to pray much for me.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to share something with you all. Regardless of what's being said, just close your eyes and just listen to her voice one last time.
Hi, Junior, let her be good. I would let her be good if she's not available. Yeah, Junior, he can't hear you. You just gotta talk to him.
Oh, I want him to respond.
Oh. Oh, is everything? I'm fine. Oh, you are just your chop going, your brother was going. I was actually working now.
All right.
Did they all be good beside me? They made a pretty one. I see I do hope you won. Right.
Love you guys.
Love you. Give my love to the family. All right.
My name is Anne Marie Sim, and I remember when my daughter was younger, we'd be over to Auntie Flo's house all the time. And I remember Jocelyn and Antoinette and Brian, and I remember George as a baby. And, you know, Flo was just such a loving and kind and generous person, and I had the impression, too, that she cared a lot for children, raised a lot of people, you've testified here, and as I remember, she was a great cook and baker, so I've always enjoyed her food. And I remember her, she had a lot of Jamaican sayings. I can't remember all of them right now, but we would, every time I met Flo, she always made me laugh. And she was just a loving person. And she would, whenever she described somebody, you just had to laugh. I remember Jocelyn, when she was younger, was going to get something to eat. And Auntie Flo said, "Jocelyn, don't eat that because you're going to get fat and buffo buffo." So you can just imagine her description. So I visited, as a matter of fact, I just want to mention that I'd called Flo that week before she had passed away and told her I would visit her on that Saturday. And I asked her what she'd like me to bring. And she said, you know, don't bring any food again. Just, you know, bring some fruits. So I was on the way to get some fruits for her. And I was just at the store, and then I got the text from Fitzroy that, you know, she was on her, going to be passing away soon. So that just devastated me. Flo will always have very, I'll always have very fond memories of her, and so will Lisa, because Lisa loved Flo. And as a matter of fact, she did get a chance to visit her too when she was here in the summer. And so her passing has left an emptiness in our hearts. But one thing we can always remember are those memories we've had of her. And we'll cherish her in our hearts forever.
Alex, could you come up? Kirsten, you come with me.
Thank you. Oh, this is, as we said, as you've heard, Aunt Flo had a lot of kids and a lot of grands. And this is Kirsten Annette. And this is Robert Alexander. And we had the privilege of living next door. You talking about a good thing to live next door to Flora Chin. I ended up at the house because Joe knows I was looking for a house. Joe and Paula knew I was looking to move. And Aunt Flo contacted them and said that the realtor had put a sign up on the back deck that the house was going on the market. That sign never went to the front yard. I put an offer in that next week. And I'm going to tell you this. Did she not feed us? Favorite thing.
The oxtails in the curry.
No, that's the same.
Yeah, so all day, Kirsten said. But the funny thing about Kirsten is Aunt Flo would call and say, "Come and get your food." And I said, "Kirsten, go get the food." And she said, "Ma," this is what she's like, they said, "I don't understand her. Don't make me go. I don't understand her." I said, "Girl, if you just," I said, "just nod and say, and say thank you. Just nod and say thank you." And the last thing I'm going to say is when my father relocated, when I moved my father from Vegas, when he was stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I'm telling you this, you're going to hear a lot about her generosity. I think everyone in this room knows about her generosity. Aunt Flo fed us every day. He moved there the 30th of August, and he passed February 10th. She sent a plate over every day. Think about that. That's a lot of months. So I would bring the chicken for both houses. You got to take, she made you go with her for the oxtails. Because the bone's this big. And she talked to the butcher and make them that like it. But I'm going to miss her terribly. It was hard going in the house, right, Paula? Really terrible going upstairs. There's never not been one of them in that room. But we love her. She helped raise Alex. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. This one, Paula, you're out of the country. I'm watching Sean and Tyler. And I'm on the phone not paying attention. And for those of you know, he has an allergy to almost everything. Nuts, seafood, just don't put it near him. So I'm talking on the phone, and he's like this. He goes, "Aunt Cheryl, I can't breathe." And I'm looking, and I had brownies on the table, and I said, "Were there nuts in there?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "You know you can't have nuts." I said, "Paula gonna kill me if he dies on my watch." I scooped him up, took him over to Aunt Flo's house. She's, now that's the part why I did not understand. She was talking about me, talking about him. She had to watch him while I ran to Walgreens to get Benadryl. And I just like, oh my God. And she just looked like it was nothing. The boy not gonna die. We love you, Aunt Flo. We miss you. And I truly thank God for her being in my life.
Thank you.
I miss Auntie Flo so dearly. Auntie Flo, a beautiful glow. When you think of a strong woman, you see a picture of Auntie Flo. She was the power of kindness, and she had a big heart. She was a mother to many and friends to 100 or to hundreds. Her and my mama were longtime friends. Auntie Flo was my neighbor. It was her that told me that the house next to her was for sale. And she had given me the contact information, and hence we became neighbors. I have yet to see Auntie Flo's house empty. There was always somebody stopping by. She knew how to throw down in the kitchen, and she never had to say twice, "Come and get a plate." Her house to me was a fellowship, fun, and food. Who could ask for anything more? One thing for sure, Auntie Flo loves to look good, and she dresses well. In today's term, she was a fashionista. Even on her sickbed, she was concerned about her hair being just right. Auntie Flo is my girl. A couple of times she called me to remind me it's due time to come and visit. So Mom and I would go and sit with her and chat. It brings back to mind this song by Miss Lou in Jamaica. "Long time gal, me never see you. Come let me shake your hand." Auntie Flo would say what was on her mind. And like E.F. Hutton, everybody listens. As a matter of fact, on the 14th, the day when she was in the hospital, I had a pressing spirit, you know, to call Auntie Flo. And when I called, the phone went to voicemail, and I'm like, that's kind of different, because normally somebody would pick up. And I left a message. I said, "Let Auntie Flo know I called, and for her to please call me back." And within an hour, I learned that Auntie Flo was in the hospital. So to me, it was like she once again saying, "Maureen, come and see me." Oh, sorry. And so I did. Oh, one more. Faithful, loving, outstanding, that was Auntie Flo. She will be missed dearly. So long, my sister. The voice of the Lord is calling you. Heaven's doors welcome you. And Mr. Chin Arms awaits you. Miss you and love you.
It wouldn't be proper if I didn't say anything about Auntie Flo. I'm Croc, for the ones that don't recognize me, but when I was real, real small, I spent a lot of time over to the Chin house by way of Paula, by way of my best friend, Garnell. And me and Garnell, we was kind of like ninjas back in the days when we were small. So we used to sneak over to the house all the time. And she would run us away. It was our constant thing after she fed us, of course. And Auntie Flo, I would come home and speak about, my mom would say, you know, you're hungry. And I said, no, I ate at Auntie Flo's. She said, who's Auntie Flo? I was like, oh, that's Garnell's girlfriend's mom. She's like, oh. We lived on the corner of Wellington and Chalai, if you know where that is. And in the wintertime, we would be so eager to get to her residence to eat. We would do a thing what they call skeech. We would catch a car coming down there and hold on to the bumper and ski all the way down to Elmdorf from Chalai. And then we would wait on the corner for a car to go down Elmdorf and skeech to the house. And we would get kicked out of the house after we ate and skeech all the way back home again. And we did this constantly all winter, four winters too. And we would tell Auntie Flo about some of the things. I started driving bus when I was about 18 years old. I started driving city bus. No one knew I was 18. They thought I was about 26 years old. Auntie Flo, I have to say, was encouragement. If I could think of any word to say about her, she was encouragement all the time. Because they said, I come and I said to her, I was like, Auntie Flo, I'm driving bus now. I saw her in Chin the Dragon. He said, you're driving the bus. I blew the bus because I was coming down the street. And they said, I'm blowing the horn. Bah, 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 bah. She looked up. They said, they must be crazy. They let Croc drive the bus. Yeah, they just didn't know. But I love you, Auntie Flo. And I thank God because I got to see her a couple months ago. I got to see her at the young lady's family funeral, and I hadn't seen her for maybe 20 years. But she knew who I was, and she hit me first thing she did. So she let me know that she was still in good mind, and that's the most beautiful thing. I love you, Auntie Flo. Thank y'all for the audience.
Thank you. I was sitting down and I said I wasn't going to say anything because I was like, okay, Aunt Flo knows what she meant to me. My name is Joe Calloway. My son and daughter, Tyler and Sean Calloway. The thing that I admire the most about Aunt Flo is that she gave you a one-on-one relationship. And I don't know how many of you actually had the opportunity to go to her house and actually be ministered to. She would minister to me in a way that I just can't even begin to tell you. She used to pour into me spiritually, which is such a blessing. And so in her later years, when she started to get sick, I was able to reciprocate that, which was a blessing to me. I remember her calling me on many occasions, giving me scriptures to read for encouragement and different things. And I remember she would call me. I remember one day I got a phone call at work, and it was a message. And I don't even know how she got my work phone number, but she did. And I listened to the message, and I heard, Joe? And I said, oh, my God, how did Aunt Flo even get my work number? So it really touched me that she even went as far as to find my work number. But everybody at New Life Fellowship, it's interesting, knows who Aunt Flo is through me. Because I talked about Aunt Flo so much, people were like, I got to meet this Aunt Flo. And so on a couple occasions, I was able to bring her and Mr. Allen to church, to fellowship. And everybody began to know who Aunt Flo was. And they know how she touched so many lives. So it has been a blessing and an honor to have known Aunt Flo and the family. So thank you for embracing me as a part of your family. But I also want to encourage everybody here to not wait till these moments for us to all get together. That's real important. 4 months ago, I lost a brother. And it brought a lot of my family together. But it was the circumstances in which we all had to see each other again. I encourage everybody not to wait until these moments for us to all get together. Embrace your family while you can. Love your family while you can. Tell them how much you love them while you can. Give the flowers to your family members while you can. That is so important because I think we always say what we could have and should have done, and we're all guilty, even myself. But tell people how much you love them while you can, because that is the most important thing that we can do. It costs nothing of us. And all of us need to learn to love and forgive, because life is really too short. And you never know, when they say, you never know the time or the day. Think about that. We never know the time or the day when something's going to shift. In a matter of a moment, that can change. So everybody, please, love up on your family. Love up on your children. Love up on your parents if they're still here to embrace that. Love up on your siblings. Let that little stuff go. Because it really isn't important at the end of the day. It's not for any of us to judge. It's for him. So thank you so much. On Flo, I love you. And thank you to the family. We'll all keep everybody lifted in prayer. And everybody continue to reach out to family even after this day. Because that's when it sinks in the most. Trust me. Thank you.
Bridget's going to come and sing. Well, there's one more. Bridget, you come and be ready, and one more in the back.
I wasn't going to say anything because I do not want to knock what he just said about Auntie Flo. It just seemed to sum everything up. But what I do have in mind is this. What's in a good name? Auntie Flo, right? Grandma to some, mother to some, so on and so forth. Auntie Flo for me. But even I got to call her grandma here and there. But the point of the matter is, she is in spirit with us, even if she's physically not here. And her memory, like has been said before, lives on. And I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to know Auntie Flo. And may we take what piece we have from that puzzle and put it together and use it to further carry that name, so that we really truly see that that good name is put to use. And I would like to sum up and say thank you all for being a part of Auntie Flo's life. And I'm so glad that I have been a part of her life too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. I'm going to be singing Grandma's Hands by Bill Withers because it's one of my favorite songs. And whenever I listen to it, even before all of this happened, I instantly think of Grandma Flo. So I know she would have appreciated this. Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played the tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Grandma's hands soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, grandma's hands. Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a hand, as she'd say, Maddie, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hands.
I'm waddling. Good morning. I'm just going to read some of these acknowledgments. With sincere sympathy, with a natural sense of caring, and with kind and helpful ways, your loved one touched so many lives and brightened many days. And we who share your sorrow deeply sympathize with you, for we understand your sense of loss and miss your loved ones too. To the Chin family, from Sonia Chin and family, may you find strength in God during this time of sorrow.
Just a couple pages.
And the love that surrounds you, may you find strength in the memories you cherish. May you find peace. With deepest sympathy for your loss, thinking about you, sorry for your loss, Debbie. Stay strong from your mail lady. I am always with you. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. John 11, 25, 26. What the heart has once owned, it should never lose. Please accept our most heartfelt sympathies for your loss. Our thoughts are with you and your family during this difficult time. We miss Auntie Flo, Perlene, and Maureen Foster. In loving memory of Flora Chin, in loving memory of a wonderful person who will always be loved and missed always, Vernell Johnson. May you find comfort in the many loving memories you'll carry in your heart forever. With deepest sympathies in our prayers, the Callaways. And this is from Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Whereas again a human spirit has taken flight at the call of the Heavenly Father to the mansion prepared from the foundation of the earth by an all-wise and loving God to glory, Sister Flora Chin. We, the members of the historic Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, express our deepest heartfelt sympathies to our beloved member, Sister Levine DaCosta, and the entire Chin family. Excuse me. Be it resolved that it is difficult for us to know the will of God at moments like this. In faith, however, we gather as friends, family, and community to support one another in prayer and praise. Be it resolved that we, the Mount Calvary Baptist Church family, keep the DaCosta Masters and Chin family in prayer, and remind them that the Lord will send special angels to comfort them, and to say, Father, thy will, not mine, be done, with the knowledge that Sister Flora Chin is home in the Lord's presence and all is well. Be it further resolved on this 28th day of September in the year of our Lord 2019, that a copy of this resolution is kept in the church records of the historic Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and a copy given to the family of Flora Masters Chin.
Good afternoon. As I prepare to read the obituary, I thought I'd just give a few quick thoughts on my Aunt Flo. There's a saying, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives, your family. By now, from all the words that have been said, you realize that Aunt Flo really didn't make any selection in that regard or did any difference in that regard. For her, if you were within 5 feet of her for 5 minutes, you were in her orb, in her sphere. She wanted to be wanted you to be part of her entire being. And she lived that every day, as you heard from so many. That caring nature was there from Jamaica, as I've talked with many family members who knew her back then, and also here in the U.S. until she passed. They will remember so many things about her, as you've heard already, the good food, the parties that I remember when I was growing up at 299 Elmdorf, and the unbelievable support that she always provided. Fortunately, over the years, the bread that she cast also came back to her. There are so many in here that provided support to her over the many, many years, and she was very grateful for that, from the legal advice to medical to just being there to read and listen to her overall thoughts. So she's very appreciative of that. I guess I would say today we're looking at a small fraction of all the people she has touched, our extended family, if you will. And I know that we will look at this as an opportunity to say how much we love her and how much we really know that God has embraced her and she's been blessed with her angel's wings, I think. So, Aunt Flo, we love you and we'll learn more about you as we read the obituary. Flora Alexia Meisters Chin was born January 10th, 1930, in Freehill in the St. Mary's Parish, Jamaica, West Indies, to the late Mr. Alan Meisters and Mrs. Verona Meisters, Campbell Meisters. Flora was united in holy matrimony to Alan Chin on January 28, 1961, in Jamaica. Flora moved to Rochester in 1968. She retired from Xerox in the 1990s after a long and rewarding career. She also received her hairstylist accreditation from Continental. She continued her role as wife, sister, mother, aunt, grandmother, confidant, prayer warrior, and so many more hats, including a tremendous seamstress. One thing that will always hold true, Flora was always there, as we've heard so many say already, in any and every capacity within her power. More than anything, she will be remembered for her cooking, laughter, and the love she shared, and lack of hesitation to help you, to tell you what she really thought. Just ask some of the folks at the nursing home for that. But she was also loved, and I can tell you that without any hesitation. She may have hurt your feelings, our feelings in the process, I believe that's supposed to be, but it prepared many of the people she touched for life's trials and tribulations. She rejoined her late husband of 56 years, Alan Chin. She leaves to cherish her memory, one daughter, Tamiko, who lives in Austin. Her last name is Chin Hart. Tamika Austin, her husband, Chin Hart, and she lives in Arizona. My apologies. Two sons, Philbert, we refer to him as Junior Chin, who was in Jamaica, and Ricky Albert Chin, who is here in Rochester. Another daughter dear to her heart, Paula, who you've heard from today, Paula Pingle, and she lives in North Carolina. Three sisters, Minna Smith, my aunt, Ione Crossdale, and the late Gwendolyn Henry. One brother, the late Vivian, we used to refer to him as Uncle Vivi, Meisters. 12 grandchildren, Sinitra, Yvette, Benji, Jocelyn, Philip, Brian Jr., Antoinette, Tyler, Sean, George Jr., Bridget, and Lakeisha. Her nephew Fabian, 11 great-grandchildren, Shmeek, Malika, Mali, is that correct? Biko? Malachi, Kamal, Tajman. Okay. Mililani, Isaiah, Zoel, is it Misha? Mishi? Damariano? 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 Boy, I'm sorry, folks. Damoni and Cameron, and as I said, those are some tough names. But let's not forget again Antiflo, who has touched so many of us here today, and we're glad to be able to be a part of our homecoming celebration. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I am Aunt Flo and Alan Chin's niece. Sometimes she would confuse and say, Alan, your granddaughter, call you. But I am their niece. I'm going to sing a song selection for you that God has laid on my heart. Followed by a short scripture. Turn the light down, go to bed. Tell me all about the day you had. Lay beside me, it's time to rest. Close your eyes, you have done your best. Let me be your sanctuary. Let me be your safe place to fall. I can take away your worry, the shelter from it all. All this time we have together is our shelter from the rain. I can take the weight you carry. Let me be your sanctuary. We have weathered through the storms, taking comfort in each other's arms. And when the dark clouds come again, I will hold you up and take you in. Let me be your sanctuary. Let me be your safe place to fall. I can take away your worries, the refuge from it all. all this time we have together is a shelter from the rain. I will take the weight you carry. Let me be your sanctuary. God will take the weight you carry. Just let him be your sanctuary. The scripture I'm going to read for you is from the book of Psalm 73, verses 21 through 28. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And with that, I have one more thing to leave with you all. My prayer for you all. And I believe Aunt Prayer's, Auntie Flo's prayer for you all as well. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Figure I uplift this room a bit, because yes, we have lost a matriarch indeed, but I always remember Grandma to always say is we weep when we bring life into this world and we rejoice when we leave out. So as I go through my eulogy, I pray and ask that you guys keep that at the forefront of your mind, because she wasn't sad. Nor should we be, right? Right. So just look around. Look around the sanctuary. Look at all the people here, whether it's immediate family, whether it's blood family, whether it was adopted in family. Look at the love and the reach that Auntie Flo had in 89 years. So whatever sorrow you're feeling, let that go, because look at this love in here, right? Right? So I'm just going to have a word of prayer quickly, if you guys will allow me, if you could just bow your heads. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you, O Lord, for the blessings that you have allowed us to borrow your vessel. We thank you for her presence, teachings, love, and moral convictions. Although many of us are hurting and questioning why, we know that man's concept of time does not mandate nor ordain your time, O Lord. We thank you for your love, your graces and mercies. We ask you and thank you for peace and understanding and closure. We ask that you hold us close to your bosom so that we may be restored and renewed. All these things in your name we pray. Amen. So before I go any further into this, if I could just have all the grandchildren stand up, all the great-grand stand up, all the children stand up. This is Auntie Flo's legacy. These are the strings that she's manipulated each and every year to make a beautiful symphonic orchestra. So it is our responsibilities to carry her song. For when we leave here, we don't stop singing it here today. We keep singing it to the high ends. Raise up a child in the way in which they should grow, so when they're old, they don't depart from it, right? Is that not something Auntie Flo said all the time? So I commission you and you and you and you. Hold this orchestra together, right? All right, amen. I once heard it said of men, the idea is to die young, as late as possible. At age 89, she may have said she was tired and old, but still very young at heart, or at least her mouth would remind you. She had no problem or lack of candor in telling you what she thought or felt. A favorite pastime of Auntie Flo was watching her stories, more specifically CBS, Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, wait, that was 13, sorry, Bold and the Beautiful, thank you. And in watching those stories, it was specifically CBS, but every time I think of that, till this day, I hear her and Grandpa arguing over the remote. Ellen, change the remote, Naman. Or when she was ready to fuss with Grandpa, she always said they fussed like brother and sister, because they had been together so long. What a beautiful foundation, a beautiful image, and a beautiful example of what we are to follow, minus the arguing part. But as of recently, the social craze that got her, she could not get enough of those Kardashian girls. Auntie Flo was known for excessive need to run road, but always managed to slow down enough to tend to her family. But what makes a family? Is it really the blood relations? Never when it came to Auntie Flo. She truly embodied what it means to be a family and exemplified it in more ways than one. She was a sister. She was a wife. She was an auntie. She was a mother. She was a grandmother. She was a friend. She was a prayer warrior. And so much more to so many more. There isn't one person in this sanctuary that has not been touched or impacted by her life. From her sisters coming with her from Jamaica to her longstanding friends like the Thompsons and Miss Foster and the late and honorable Lewises, and probably many more that I don't even recall and I'm missing. not even to mention some of our Kojic family that came here today to honor her as well. There's so many more nieces and nephews and grands that we can never fully embody how much she touched them. From Paula and Mommy sharing stories of when she took them to Jamaica as teens and witnessing the demise of the goat there, I believe it was for Dar and Fitz's nuptial ceremony, what have you, but it never failed for them to share with our generation, Tyler, Sean, Brian, Antoinette, of how traumatized they were from that goat experience. Mommy didn't eat goat for years after that. But I guess seasoning and cooking legacy has passed down to Sinitra, a.k.a. Mother Hen, because Mommy craving wax off the goat this week. By the way, I heard Cousin Claire is supposed to be making goat head soup today. I'm sure it'll be nice. Thank you for continuing the legacy and ensuring the next generation will be traumatized with a goat experience of their own to pass on. There aren't many who have not been blessed by her hands, from the glorious Sunday dinners she would make to the clothes she'd sew, down to even the hot comb to press our hair. Did anyone else cry when it was time to get the hair pressed by the hair comb? Okay, not just me. Good. I couldn't forgive myself if I failed to mention her style and pizzazz. Hence, now that woman was a true influencer. What's Instagram? From the hat on her head to the shoes on her feet, she came correct. One of my favorite days as a child would be when Miss Daphne would come over. Everybody remember Miss Daphne? Yes. When Miss Daphne would come over, I couldn't wait to get a little shape to fit in those clothes. She shared her stylist with everyone too, even at the church. But when it is said and done, Auntie Flo would spend her last to make herself, kids, or us grandkids look well manicured and groomed. Some of us learned from Auntie Flo and became frugal adults. I, on the other hand, followed her blueprint pretty closely, and I'm sure my husband would agree that I may need an intervention. My point is, we are truly blessed to have had a woman like her in our lives. She has showed us grace, humility, and more than anything, how to be a God-fearing child of God. She loved the Lord and made sure she instilled that in every child and individual that passed through her doors. So what a legacy is that to leave behind? And if I leave you with anything else, again, I leave you with Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, so even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Because if you live by that saying, which Grandma held so true-heartedly, you can't go wrong when times such as these come. Because after she would say that, her next scripture, Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things, and will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I leave you with that. I condemn your spirits with that. I ask that you take charge, just as Joe said, and I put that responsibility on each and every person in this room. Do not leave this building or come back to this repast. Don't not get one person's contact number. Don't not get somebody's email address. All this Facebook, social media, that is not what the Master's sisters created for us. That's never what this was. So don't leave here sad today. Rejoice and smile, and everything will be good. So I just pray that you guys receive what I have said. I pray that I've done justice to my grandmother, Anne Flo, and I pray that I've done justice to all of you here. Keep me in your prayers.
And I love you, Grandma.
Please stand. From here, we will proceed to the Holy Sepulchre Cemetery for the graveside service, and then return here for a repast, which I think will be spectacular. As we begin to move out, I think you probably know these words, and you can join with me in singing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, Heir of salvation.